AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A day after a service outage that had tens of thousands of AT&T customers staring at their smartphones wondering where service was, the carrier says it was not a cyber attack.
Whenever a service outage of any kind affects a lot of people, social media comes alive with theories about hackers and malicious attacks on our infrastructure. The FBI and other agencies immediately started looking for evidence of that on Thursday. Federal investigators said early on during the outage that it did not appear to be the work of cyber terrorists.
That's ABC's Jim Ryan. The White House is getting ready to announce more than 500 new sanctions against Russia, punishment for the ongoing war against Ukraine, and for the death of Russia's most outspoken critic of President Vladimir Putin, Alexei Navalny. Officials say they're the toughest sanctions since the war began. For the first time ever, there's a human presence near the South Pole of the moon, or at least something humans built. The lunar module, nicknamed Odie, landed there upright last night. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Several University of Wisconsin building projects are closer to moving forward after final legislative approval yesterday. The bill is now before the governor. The projects include a new engineering building at UW-Madison. It's part of the deal UW system leaders struck with Republican leaders in exchange for new limits on campus diversity efforts. People with PFAS-polluted wells will have to wait for help from the state. Governor Evers says he plans to veto a Republican bill that passed yesterday over the objections of Representative Jeffrey Meursault.
If you had contamination in your well, wouldn't you want to have that well, somebody to help you fix that? And it's not about, taking things away from the DNR.
Meursault says the bill protects innocent landowners from liability. Evers says the bill weakens the state's enforcement authority. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WMDX News, I'm Nate Wegehout. A GoFundMe has been set up to help pay for the funeral expenses for two children who were killed in a homicide last weekend. They were killed by their mother, who then turned the gun on herself. Major and Maya Lacey Robinson were students at Sauk Trail Elementary School in Middleton. The money from the GoFundMe will also go to counseling services for surviving family members. With the weather warming up in southern Wisconsin, three Madison golf courses are set to open on Sunday. The Odana Hills, Monona, and Yahara Hills golf courses will officially open for the year at 10 a.m. The Glen Golf Park, the city's fourth golf course, won't open until March 1st. The city's tee-off party is also being rescheduled for this Sunday through March 2nd. You can purchase season passes for Madison's golf courses for a discount during that time. Online reservations open at 8 a.m. Friday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Nate Wegehout, WMDX News.
Asante came to TurboTax after graduating from culinary school and landing a job in the hottest kitchen in town.
My hands are full all day, every day. I love it.
Asante, as your TurboTax expert, I'll make your moves count, guaranteeing 100% accurate filing and your maximum refund. Sound good?
Yes, expert!
Switch to Intuit TurboTax and make your moves count. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees. Experts only available with TurboTax Live.
Gary Sanchez joins the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Former Yankee Gary Sanchez has arrived nearly 3 weeks after it was first reported he'd been signed by the Brewers. It turns out he injured his right wrist during off-season workouts, something detected during his physical. Sanchez spoke through an interpreter.
No, yeah, it was a process that was, more or less long, but, had a little something in the hand. But here now, and with plenty of time, get to know the players, get to know the coaches, and happy to be here.
Sanchez says he should be ready to play catcher and DH in a couple of weeks. NBA, Bucks against the Timberwolves tonight in Minneapolis. No Chris Middleton, still out with an ankle injury. NFL, the Packers introduced their new defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley. I asked Matt LaFleur what he wants to see from the defense after dismissing Joe Barry.
I want us to be fast and physical and attack the ball and be able to go out there and generate takeaways.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
It is going to be cloudy with a few off and on flurries or even a snow shower today, and it's also going to be a lot colder. High of 37 this afternoon. The wind will be north at 5 to 15. Tonight, clearing, our low 16. Tomorrow, sunny 37. We're back to 50 on Sunday with sunshine 60 by Monday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 34.
Welcome to the Lazy Oaf Lounge, Madison's East Side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Stop in for great daily lunch specials, soups made from scratch, and jaw-dropping burgers, wraps, and sandwiches. Plus Friday fish fry and homemade pizza cooked in a classic stone hearth pizza oven. The Lazy Oaf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyOafLounge.com.
Hey everybody, it's Todd Allball. Friday noon to 3, we have Brady Ewing on talking sports and also more live from Hayward at the Birkenbeiner right here on the Civic Media Ready Network.
There's nothing better than the Vilas Zoo and the Old Brick Gardens.
Except maybe Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove I'm alright song. And I don't really care if nobody else believes. Cause I've still got a lot of fight left in me.
Why is James Comer working with possibly Russian intelligence agencies through this completely debunked theory? Why do we keep getting witnesses in front of our oversight committee that end up being Chinese spies or discredited people that are out there saying essentially lies that can't provide a shred of evidence against the president? So I get more and more worried every single day about what James Comer's motivations are in leading this whole impeachment discussion.
Thank you. Yeah, Representative Garcia. Tristan Snell, our legal lad, said the Senate should open an immediate investigation into the Alexander Smirnoff scandal with public hearings, bring Smirnoff in to testify, then bring in Jim Jordan, James Comer, and Elise Stefanik right in behind him. Yeah. This is a national security breach of the highest order.
I agree.
Our friend just said, why is this not the biggest story ever? There he is, live from Ukraine. Oh, I forgot I don't have a thing.
No.
But we have to get a thing for him.
Do.
Hi, Philip Itner. How are you?
Hello, Steph. I am as well as I can be, given the grim anniversary that we face tomorrow, the 2 years of the full-scale war.
I mean, the only sliver of good news in that is Putin said it would take 2 weeks for him to take over Ukraine. So, you know what, as you talk about the spirit of the Ukrainian people all the time, there we are, right? We were talking before you came on, you're like, they see what's happening. You know, like they see what's happening politically here. I can't even imagine when they see Republicans in this country doing Putin's talking points.
Mm-hmm. And despite the fact that Smirnoff has now been shown to, at the very least, be conveying Russian intelligence, there's no other words for it, but information warfare tactics, that still the GOP is still willing to ignore the fact that there is clear Russian involvement attacking. There's no other word for it. It is an attack on our body politic. When are we going to stop pretending that these are isolated incidents or that it's just kind of incidental messing with our political system? No. The Russians think that they are at war with us, and they are acting accordingly. The sooner we wise up to their mentality and respond accordingly as well. And I'm not calling for anything, you know, I'm not calling for a war. I'm not calling for anything, but let's recognize the Russians think they're at war with us and they are trying to attack us in the information sphere, and they're doing a good job at it.
You retweeted Eric Swalwell, who said, James Comer must resign from Congress. For the last 2 years, he's done the work of Russia's intelligence service to falsely attack President Biden. There must be accountability. I mean, Phil, at this point, I don't care if it's the Senate, if it's public pressure, also the DOJ, it should be all of it. As you keep saying, this should be the biggest story. Why? What is going on? Mainstream media. I mean, all of it, right?
I'll tell you, 70, being here as well, when we talk about mainstream media and how badly they are dropping the ball when it comes to both what's happening domestically within the United States, and then what's happening here in Ukraine. I mean, in the post-October 7th attacks and the way that the conflict in Israel and Gaza has sucked all the air out of the room when it comes to coverage of Ukraine, all of a sudden, as the two-year anniversary comes back, you see all these teams parachuting in, and they'll be here for maybe a week, maybe two, and then they're going to go away again. The coverage of Ukraine is, I don't know if it's from exhaustion, I don't know if it's just simply that they need the next shiny thing so that they can get an audience share, but the way that this place has been covered and the way the intelligence attack is happening domestically has been shameful.
And
shame
on
the media.
Yes, Philip, and it's all one story, as I always say. Our friend Rude Pundit said this should be the biggest political story in the country now. Right now, one of our two major parties is essentially a Russian psyop, and that's an understatement. But no, please tell us more about Biden's effing dog. I mean, yeah. It's okay. So here, I was going to a couple of tweets I saved for you. Just first of all, I don't know why we have to like try to think of ideas. Like Tristan Snell said, and I think we talked about this last time, Phil, take the $388 billion of Russian money sitting in Western banks, create a fund to pay for Ukraine's defense and reconstruction, call it the Navalny Fund. Retweet with comment Navalny Fund to send a message to all Western leaders. I mean, I think we have to do anything we can think of to stand with Ukraine at this point. That's a great idea. What do you think?
I think it's a great idea. I think it's 100% just. I mean, take the money from these oligarchs who would not be as wealthy as they were if they didn't benefit from Putin's kleptocracy and give it to the people and rebuild the homes that have been destroyed by their aggression. There's no other word for it. And you're 100% right to say this is the same war, whether it is domestically through an information and a psychological warfare that is happening in the United States, or whether it's a hot war here in Ukraine. And when I talk to Ukrainians, the only saving grace in some ways, the only patience that they have for this utter dysfunction in the house is that they understand that we are under attack in the United States by the same enemy that has tanks here, but has, you know, has information warfare and spies and disinformation campaigns in the United States.
It's what Khrushchev.
It's the same fight.
It's what Khrushchev said. We'll take America without firing a shot.
Yeah.
That's
right. And there's been no difference between Khrushchev and Putin. That mentality of our best weapon against you is yourself. We will tear you apart from inside. And it's clear that's what they're doing.
President Biden has announced more than 500 new sanctions on Russia over the war in Ukraine and the death of Navalny. They target those connected with Navalny's imprisonment, as well as Russia's financial sector, defense industrial base, and procurement networks. What's your take on that, Phil? I mean, I know, unfortunately, I've seen reporting that sanctions so far have not had a huge effect on Russia's economy.
Well, you know, their economy is propped up or is transitioned into a war economy. So they're making money off their own production of weapons. So there's a self-feeding cycle there that's happening. But ultimately, it hopefully the intention is that can only go so far, and at some point there's going to be a collapse. I hope that's true. But its sanctions are clearly not enough. We need to get through this impasse in the House. We need to get weapons over here ASAP. Sanctions are great. Tanks are better.
Yeah. I loved President Zelensky was on with Bret Baier on Fox, who said, did you happen to see the Tucker interview? And I love Zelensky said, I don't have time to hear more than 2 hours of bull blank about us and the world and about the United States and about our relations. Baier said, but he also calls you a neo-Nazi, by the way, and says you have Nazis in your administration. Zelensky said, I heard this. I'll keep searching for them, but I couldn't find them. I'll keep working. We'll keep working, keep searching. OJ searching for the real killers.
Yeah, a little
snark
bit.
To it.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, he is, you know, there. You can make criticisms about him, but at the end of the day, boy, is he sharp.
Yeah,
I mean it was a very smart thing to go on Fox to choose to speak to the Fox audience. Mm-hmm. But put that in contrast with Carlson's, whatever that was with Putin.
Yeah,
no big fan of Bret Baier, but that was a real interview. That was a proper sit down interview. By the way, not far away from the front lines. You know, while Tucker sits down in the nice, cushy office in the Kremlin, Zelensky's out there on the front lines, and you know, it couldn't have been sharper in contrast.
Yeah. By the way, this is the headline. Fox board member Paul Ryan rips extremely dangerous Tucker and Trump for pushing pro-Putin and pro-tyranny sentiment. The problem is he's in a teeny minority in the Republican Party, and he's not in power anymore. I mean, because he's on the Fox board. He tore into Tucker Carlson and Trump for pro-Putin, pro-tyranny sentiment. He said, what is it about Russia in which we continue to come back to this sort of old the reverb loop that started back in 2016, where they keep trying, apparently, to some measures, and they keep succeeding? Yeah, no kidding. I haven't heard any Republican in power admit that. Trump was, you know, illegally installed by Russia in 2016. But he said Russia has been trying to penetrate our system for long before 2016. I mean, for quite a long time. They got very active in those days. And obviously now, as we know, Russia is trying to affect our elections in the present tense, right now, in 2024, right?
And it's going to get worse. And it's going to get worse. And it's going to get worse, not least of which because of the largest social media platform in the world, in the English-speaking world, has been taken over by a pro-Moscow oligarch of our own. I mean, he gives voice to people like the absolute maniac philosopher Alexander Dugin, but he'll take away the profile of Navalny's widow. I mean, it's going to get worse. It's going to get more intense.
You know,
this information warfare is going to intensify.
Yeah. It's heartbreaking. The other thing Zelensky said in this Bret Baier interview, journalists asked, will Ukrainians survive without Congress support? And he said, of course, but not all of us. It's a tragedy. It will be a tragedy for all of us, not only for Ukraine, not only for Ukrainians, but for all of Europe. I mean, I don't know whether Republicans don't see the big picture, Philip, or that they just will refuse, you know, refuse to say it.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a delegation of senators here. You know, Chuck Schumer's over here, and he is saying to the people of Ukraine, you know, we will stand with you. But they're very smart. They understand American politics in some ways better than many Americans probably do, I would contend. What I want to see is some of these guys, the Jim Jordans of the world, the Matt Gaetz of the world, and of course Speaker Johnson, at least have the guts and the strength of character to come to this country. A senatorial delegation is great. I want those guys to come over here, look these people in the eye, and tell them, we don't care that you're dying. We're going to cut off aid to you. At least have the strength of character to come here even once, just once, and look these people in the eye before you betray them.
Yeah.
Three people are dead. Overnight bombs in Odessa. Three people are dead. Countless others are homeless, have been driven from their homes, are truly suffering. And we made promises, and we're betraying them. At least have the guts, Speaker Johnson, to come here and look Ukrainians in the eye before you send them down the river.
Yep. Donald Trump's dirty little Johnson.
Oh.
Ew. You know, there's a commercial for something on MSNBC. It's an injection of some sort. And one of the lines, I swear to God, is it's amazing that a tiny little prick can be so powerful. And I don't know why that came to mind now, but it's just a line about an injection, that's all it is.
Do you have to work so blue?
Yes, I do. Hi, Philip. lastly, wanted to get your...
You have to laugh, because if you don't laugh, you'll
just
spiral.
Exactly.
Just wanted to get your take. President Biden called Putin a crazy SOB in a fundraiser in San Francisco this week. He said, we have a crazy SOB, this guy Putin and others. We always have to be worried about a nuclear conflict. He said, I love this. The Kremlin said of those comments, they were a huge disgrace to the United States. Can I just say it is refreshing to have a president that says you to Biden to Putin? Excuse me. Biden also talked about Trump's comments about, comparing himself to Navalny. He said he's comparing himself to Navalny and saying that because our country has become a communist country, he was persecuted just like Navalny was persecuted. Where the hell does this come from? If I stood here 10 or 15 years ago and said all this, you'd think I should be committed. I mean, it's astounding. That really is true. I mean, I think we all vomited in unison when Trump compared himself to Navalny.
It's just, this is nothing we don't already know, but I mean, there is no depth to which he will not sink to make it about him, you know, and you'll notice that, you know, he will victimize himself, but he won't point out that the guy who killed Navalny was his pal Vladimir Putin. He
won't
criticize
Putin. Mention him.
He'll victimize himself. If there is any question in anybody's mind that the former president is compromised by the Kremlin.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, time and time again.
Yeah. I can't hear enough from Kremlin spokespeople. One of them said, I can say, this is what Biden said, I can say that such rude statements. That's what's rude.
That's
not
what's rude.
Not invading a sovereign country in a 2-year-long terrorist attack or, you know, killing your political rival. It's rude.
It's just rude.
I can say such rude comments from the head of the U.S. state are unlikely to offend in any way the head of another country, especially President Putin. But this is a huge disgrace for the country, I mean the United States of America. So I think if a president of such a country uses such language, it should be shameful. They're saying, does President Biden need to work so blue?
Yes.